In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. All praises to Allah, the creator of the universes and their sustainer, the provider of believers and unbelievers. And may his precious blessings be on the seal of his prophet, the last of his messengers and his holy progeny. And in particular, may his incessant blessings ever continue to flow on the 10th successor to the Holy Prophet, on Imam Ali ibn Muhammad ibn al-Hadi, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. We were discussing last night the role of the 10th Imam alayhi salam in the various political situations that arose during his imamah, and particularly in the period of Mutawakkil, to see how Mutawakkil was out to oppress his shares in everywhere, and how the Imam alayhi salam was contriving various means, even from underground activities, from silent, quiet activities, to ensure that the lives of the shares are not only protected, but they are able to live in an honorable way with dignity. In the process, I was attempting to show how he managed to build up a system of wakala whereby, although the Shias were not able to have direct contact with him, because to have direct contact with him meant they would be killed by Mutawakkil, he was able to obtain access to them through various agents that he had appointed in various places. And we discussed four major regions which he had developed in this regard. The essence of that discussion was that as a result, we have today obtained that system of being able to know that the Imam alayhi salam is there without seeing him or hearing him. Because the people of that time were never able to see him. He was in Samarra, not allowed to meet people, in house arrest, or at least under surveillance. So the people could not see him, could not hear him, yet they were sure of his existence, and they were able to communicate with him through the agents. That is the spirit built up in that way, in that time, further developed by the 11th Imam alayhi salam, which devolved on us, and as a result, we are today able to live in an era in which we cannot believe Islam, we cannot see the Imam alayhi salam, we cannot hear him, and yet we are sure of his presence. We can feel his presence, we know of his presence, and are able to satisfy all our religious needs, either through communication with the ulama of the time, or even directly with him, as we shall discuss in greater detail next year, inshallah. For example, through Arita, through Istivata, and through other direct contacts with him, whereby we can meet him in person. Those then are methods of which foundation will be laid by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, and you can see to what extent he went. But the immediate result was that he was able to meet the needs of the Shias. This, as I said yesterday, is what troubled Mutawakkil considerably, and hence he decided that, acting on the information he had, that all these matters were being controlled by Imam Hadi alayhi salam from Medina, he decided he would move Imam Hadi alayhi salam from Medina to Samarra. We have examined this sort of situation again and again. It happened to the 7th Imam alayhi salam, to the 8th Imam alayhi salam, to the 9th Imam alayhi salam, and now to the 10th Imam alayhi salam. And in respect of each Imam alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, we have had occasion to discuss this particular method employed by Harun al-Rashid, la'natullah, by Mahmud al-Rashid, la'natullah, and indeed by Mutawakkil. And Mu'tasim as well. Well, Mutawakkil wrote a letter to the governor of Medina, who checked the Imam alayhi salam under surveillance. But the governor of Medina wrote a letter to Mutawakkil saying that the Imam alayhi salam was gathering arms was gathering money and was preparing to overthrow the government of Mutawakki. Now that was a complete lie. The Imam al-Islam was not doing anything of the kind. And he was not doing so because he felt the time was not right. He felt that if that happened at that particular time, it would only mean that Shias who were being oppressed would be killed altogether and they would not be able to withstand the military might of Mutawakkil. Such as happened in the time of Muawiyah and Yazid and happened to Zayd and happened in respect of various revolutions which we have not had time to discuss because I'm only discussing the Imamah of the 10th Imam alayhi salam. And so he decided, as did the 5th Imam alayhi salam and as did the 6th Imam alayhi salam, that it was not time right for revolution as such. And so he was out to protect the lives of the Shias, making them more comfortable and economically to live in better positions rather than involve themselves in military strategies. When the Imam alayhi salam obtained information that the governor Abdullah bin Muhammad had written such a letter to the Mutawakkil, the Imam alayhi salam promptly wrote his letter to the Mutawakkil. You can see the political acumen with which the Imam alayhi salam was conducting himself. And in that letter he said, I received information that Muhammad bin Abdullah has written to you this letter. It is a letter that contains total lies. And it is a matter of disgrace, he said, that your governor should be writing such lies to you. It is not in keeping with Islamic life. It is not in keeping with Muslim behavior. All this is lies. You are not asking for evidence from it to substantiate what he is saying. When I can tell you that everything that he said there is not only untrue, but is not capable of being substantiated at all. When Mutawakkil received both these letters, he had to take a politically correct decision. He knew that many people in the Ummah were already favorable to the Imam alayhi salam, regarding him as an honest person of high integrity. So he decided he could not ignore the letter of the Imam alayhi salam. On the other hand, he was fearful of the Imam alayhi salam, knowing that his own behavior and his own strategies were so impure and so un-Islamic that the people were not likely to favor him, but could well favor the Imam alayhi salam. That threat was always at the back of the mind of Mutawakkil. So he decided he would address a letter to the Imam alayhi salam, asking the Imam, inviting the Imam to Samarra, so that he would be able to keep the Imam alayhi salam under his own watchful eye and stop the Imam alayhi salam from any interference politically, from doing anything to overthrow his government. But that letter, which remains extant still today, was written with greatest of courtesy. But in the letter were certain things which I wanted to refer to on last Thursday night, but time did not permit. Again on Friday night, time did not permit, and I said I would refer to them tonight on Monday night. He refers to the Imam alayhi salam saying, I have received your letter and I am extremely disappointed with my governor that he should have made such false accusations against you when you are known to be a man of honor and integrity. Now these are expressions that come from the die-hard enemy of the Imam alayhi salam. What greater proof do we want for that? He goes further to say that he should have known that you would not indulge in such activities, and these allegations and such information is totally false, and he should not have acted on them at all. He should not have referred these matters either to you or to him. As a result of your complaint and the legitimacy in it, and keeping in mind your high rank and the rank of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, I have decided that I will dismiss Abdullah bin Muhammad from office straight away. And he was dismissed replaced by Muhammad bin Faraj. He then continues in the letter to say that having taken all this into account, and particularly the fact that your knowledge and integrity is of such a level that the ulama in Samarra will be able to benefit, the ulama in Medina having benefited from you for a number of years, and my own personal keenness to be close to you as I am now so far away from you, I invite you to come over to Samarra so that you can remain in close proximity with me and I can approach you every time I need and I can obtain help and guidance from you every time it becomes necessary. To this end, before I go further, there is further testimony of the fact that the Khalif of the time is seeking help and guidance from the Imam al-Islam. The question I want to pose tonight, centuries later, is simply this, that if he is seeking guidance from the Imam of the time, from Imam Ali al-Islam, should he not immediately have said to him, you are more competent, more knowledgeable than I am, I ask you to remain the Khalif and I will remain under your Imam? Isn't this the logical answer, the logical corollary to the letter that he put his signature to and coming in writing from it? But as I said on Thursday night, it was undeniable that there was no person more learned than him. And last night, and the night before, I was able, and tonight again, I will be able to show instances that that was not only true, but Mutawakkil was constrained to believe, to accept the truth of that belief. Therefore, the continuation of Mutawakkil as the Khalif and not handing over the Khilafah to the Imam al-Islam was tantamount most unequivocally to usurpation of the Khilafah by Mutawakkil. And despite the fact that he accepted the legitimacy of his name with the Imam al-Islam, he then proceeded in that letter to say, but you can travel in complete safety and in complete comfort. Do please pardon my state of my throat, and I hope it will not irritate you or interrupt you in the listening of this address. But if it does, please let me know. However, he proceeds to say, you may travel at your leisure. Stop whenever you like and your orders will be complied with. Move on whenever you like and your orders will be complied with. And to this end, I have asked Yahya bin Harthama to come over to Medina and provide you that call right over to Samarra. I have chosen Yahya bin Harthama only because, in my estimate, he is the person here who has the greatest respect for you and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and he's the person who will take greatest care of you. The Imam alayhi salam, having considered this letter at length, came to the conclusion that it would be futile to refuse to go, because it would only mean Mutawakkil will use other means, as Harun Rashid did, as Mahmud did, to take him over to Samarra. And so he decided he would move to Samarra. But the moment he reached the Samarra, and I'm cutting a long story short, and jumping over certain stations, but only to say this, that when he left, Yahya bin Harthama says, I was amazed to see how he was dressed. When we left in the morning, when the sun was already shining. The sky was clear and the air was warm, and yet the Imam al-Islam was heavily dressed. He was dressed in the kind of clothes you would wear, not only when it rains, but when it rains torrentially, and you have to protect yourself against heavy rain. And all the people who were accompanying the Imam al-Islam were dressed in that way. So Yahya said, I knew that they dressed that way on the orders of the Imam al-Islam. On the contrary, Yahya and his people were dressed very lightly because it was supposed to be very warm. But it did not even come to noon when the weather changed and such torrential rain fell that only the Imam al-Islam and his people were protected because of the dress and the clothing they had. And Yahya and his people were absolutely drenched, some of them not able to proceed any further. Yahya could see the first sign of where true Imama lay, that he could foresee the next steps on the journey. And Yahya therefore knew that for the rest of the journey, he must follow Imam al-Islam's directions rather than be the escort himself. The one escorted became the guide, and the guide became the escort. But this is always the consequence of the company of the Imam al-Islam. But when he reached the Samarra, soon a new development took place. Mutawakkil received him and gave him shelter, gave him a house, special house to live in. But soon Mutawakkil became very sick. He had boils all over him, and those boils were not getting short. And no doctor was able to provide medicine or solution to cure him. None dared take a knife and start cutting those boils. And so they became worse and worse. The mother of Mutawakkil, although there was a lot of politics in the household, was after all a mother. And she wanted the son to be cured, not the Khalif, but the son to be cured. And so she kept another. And the mother she kept was, and this is reported in Sunnah sources also, Ibn Sabbah al-Maliki reports this in his book also, as do all other writers. And somebody reports it. So it is in Sunnah's books as well. She keeps the mother. And in this mother, she says that if my son Mutawakkil gets well, I will send 10,000 dinars, gold coins, to Ali ibn Muhammad al-Ridha, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Well, you might wonder, why does the mother of Mutawakkil keep a matter like that, unless she has the faith that this was the personality close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because her memory is only kept in respect of her personality, who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah fulfills the wishes. He is the final arbiter. And therefore, if you want to go through somebody to reach Allah, you will only go through someone who is near to Allah. You want to join in a company, you will only go through a director whose word will be accepted by the committee that makes the appointment. You will not go through the peer whom nobody listens to in the company. You will never get the job then. And this is common sense. And nobody would keep a doubt of a person who they did not trust and have full faith in as a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can see, and I for that reason deliberately cite this example here, that in that very household, I do this. And I feel a pain, as you can see, to do this for a few minutes. Because the youth said, well, if he was so clearly the Imam alayhi salam, why would he not accept him? And you can, I hope, see manifestly what was going on at the time, purely from the angle of politics. So the power remains with those who were power hungry, and those who were worshipping Allah were happy to remain in their homes worshipping Allah. So Allah was the name of Allah kept being taken in this world, and so long as Islam survives. Well, she keeps the number. That is my son, yes, well, I will send 10,000, a lot of money in those days, dinar, to Ali ibn Muhammad al-Ridha, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And that, and reports this matter to Ibn Khakan, who was close to Mutawakkil. Ibn al-Khakam goes to Mutawakkil and says that you are not well, the doctors are not able to cure you. Well, why not consult Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam? Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Ali al-Ridha alayhi salam. He was known as Ibn al-Ridha all the time and has the connection to the 8th Imam alayhi salam. And Mutawakkil now frustrated said, well, what harm is there in it? Consulted, if need be, asked him to come and see me and let us see what he says. And when Khaqan consulted Jitan Imam alayhi salam, he said, yes, if Allah wills, he will get shafa. All you have to do is get bread of the fat of sheep, mix it with rose water, and apply it on the boys, on each boy. These boys will open up, will throw out the toxin inside that is causing all this trouble, and he will recover. Inshallah, with the help of Allah and the will of Allah. So Khaqan goes and reports this. The moment this is reported, the other ministers start laughing and scoff at it. They say, what would dregs of fat of sheep do with rose water? This is nonsense. But Khaqan says, what do we lose? Let us try. And Mutawakkil, now desperate, no way of getting a cure, says, right, we don't lose anything, we shall try. And that prescription was given an opportunity to try. The moment those drugs were applied onto the boils, the boils in due course opened up, and having opened up, emitted out all that was in them, and Mutawakkil started to get well. In due course, he became completely well. He recovered when the mother had feared that he may never recover. Therefore, in due course, the mother sent one purse with 10,000 dinars in it, with her seal on it, to the 10th Imam alayhi salam. Along with it, she sent another bag. The first purse was only in compliance with the mother. She sent another bag in which she put 400 dinars, saying to herself, this is my additional gift to Al-Hadi alayhi salam for the cure that he gave to my son. And those two went to the Imam alayhi salam and checked him. Believe it or not, just a few days passed, according to history. Not even a few months, a few days passed. And this will give you an idea of the Mutawakkil we are dealing with. Although I'm sure you have a full picture of the kind of person he was from our meeting last night. He gets information with the Imam alayhi salam, he's accumulating army, he's accumulating money, he's accumulating weapons, and these weapons and gadgets are in his house. The kind of information Abdullah bin Muhammad had, the general of Medina, and he dismissed him for that reason. Now, he is acting on exactly that kind of information. In that letter he says, my governor should have known that you are a man of integrity and would not indulge in such practices. Why was he indulging in it? In that sort of supervision himself. However, he ordered his very close minister and general Saeed to break into the house of the Imam alayhi salam at night, in the small hours of the night, and conduct a thorough search for all these items. So Saeed, having taken a few of his very brave, very competent people who were excellent at making thorough searches of houses, and they went to the house of the Imam alayhi salam. He checked the ladder and climbed right to the roof. And having got to the roof, was now trying to come down to the house. But it was dark, it was small hours, the light. There was no light in the house. And so, he could not find his way. He stumbled and stumbled. Soon he heard the voice of the Imam alayhi salam. But what did that voice say? It said, oh Saeed, stop where you are. If you stumble like this, you might hurt yourself and your people might hurt themselves. Can you believe the kindness of the Imam? Can you believe a person whose house is being unlawfully searched in this way, under repression and persecution, should want to save those who are out to harass them so that they don't stumble and they are not injured? He says, I'm sending you candles. You will receive candles, and with the help of candles, you can then come down safely. And when Saeed comes down safely, and it is reported by Saeed himself, when he comes down to his land, he finds that the Imam alayhi salam is on a prayer mat. He is engrossed in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, those were the hours in which Ahlul Bayt were famous for being in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could not have expected to find the Imam alayhi salam anywhere else. And if they knew this, why would they forget this at critical moments? The Imam alayhi salam was engrossed in his prayer. When they come and stand before him, he says, why are you standing before me? There are the rooms right in front of you. Don't you see them? You can go and do what you like in those rooms. They enter the rooms, carry out a thorough search. And all that they find in the search are the purse with the seal of the Maghrib Mutawakkil, because the Imam alayhi salam had not even touched those monies, and the bag containing 400 dinars. They come to the Imam alayhi salam and say, we have found this bag. And the Imam says, yes, it was sent to me by the mother of Mutawakkil together with the 10,000 dinars. And if you want, if you are still searching, then lift the prayer mat and there is something beneath it. And beneath the prayer mat was the sword that every Arab in those days carried. And this is all that they found in the house. They took all that to Mutawakkil. Mutawakkil was absolutely flabbergasted to see the seal of his mother. She said, this man is accumulating money to overthrow me, and he's getting money from my own mother to overthrow me. That was his first reaction. And he was absolutely flabbergasted. He didn't know how to react to this. So he immediately called the mother and said, mother, what is this? You are sending 10,000 dinars to Mutawakkil. And the mother says, yes, my son, I did it. So he says, what for? And the mother says, what for? He says, this is another I've kept for your boy, that if you recover, I will send 10,000 dinars to him. And so the Mutawakkil says, did you know that we have consulted him and we're asking him to see what cure there is for me? She said, no, this is long before that. It's long before that. It is after I kept another that I told Khakam to come and tell you to call Ibn Rida and seek help from him. When you be recovered, it became obligatory on me to fulfill that nazr. And so I sent the 10,000 dinars with him. Indeed, she did so because who else was there at that time whose nazr could have been kept? Which proves the point that indeed there wasn't a person living at that time nearer to Allah, the exalted and glorified, than the 10th Imam alayhi salam. Mutawakkil said, there is this other bag. It contains 400 dinars. And the mother says, that too was given by me. So Mutawakkil comes to Sayyid and says, Sayyid, everything you found in the house comes from my mother. How would my mother be joining in trouble? Return all this, and return the sword also. Obviously, the information that I got was all wrong. But we have had it, Ibn Rida. So take another threat of 10,000 dinars on the type my mother gave it, and put my seal on it, and now let him have one purse with the seal of my mother and another purse of my own seal. So you can see how the Imam al-Islam was unnecessarily held. You can see the political schemes through which he had to go, but all of them proving the true imana of the 10th Imam alayhi salam. When Sa'id comes to the Imam, embarrassed and shameful, he seeks forgiveness of the Imam alayhi salam and hands over all the money. Which money the Imam alayhi salam was going to use? For the very shears that Mutawakkil wanted to hire. The very shears whom Mutawakkil wanted to see as beggars on the streets. However, Imam's answer to Sa'id is absolutely fantastic. He answered him with the ayah of Quran, which we recite after every majlis, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. And soon these oppressors, those who were zulm, will come to know how things will change against them in a manner that they did not even conceive of themselves. That was a clear indication by the Imam al-Islam to Mutawashir that what he was doing was zulm, and that zulm will backfire on him in a way that he would not be able even to conceive. The things did not end there. Despite that, soon another piece of information is received that the Imam al-Islam is accumulating on. This is now in Samarra, in the very vicinity of Mutawashir. And again Mutawashir stands the search. This time the search is sent with people going to search the house in large numbers. And they went, and this time they entered through the front door. And when they entered, what did they see? They saw the Imam exactly as Saeed had seen him. Small hours of the morning, he was on his prayer mat with woolen robe and woolen hat. So you can see it was in winter. But the Imam al-Islam did not allow the cold climate to interfere with his prayers. Despite that atmosphere, he would dress himself up warmly, but would be there standing, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why I keep saying to the youth, there is no alternative to the prayer mat. Let us not fool ourselves by saying, it is enough that I'm doing good. I've helped Mr. So-and-so in the morning. I've given 10 rupees to seven such a poor man. I have obeyed my mother when she wanted a little thing. All those are noble acts. And all those, particularly serving mother, carry high rewards, no question about it. But all those carry no value so long as salah is not performed within time. Because the Holy Prophet says in Qubilat, Qubilat ma siwa. It is when salah is accepted that the rest, then the rest of worship of Allah is accepted. Where in Rubdat ma siwa, he says if salah is rejected, then everything is rejected. There is no choice. We cannot but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do so logically again, for good reasons, intellectually. If the reason are, as we all are sure he is, and we are his creatures, is there a choice except worshipping him? Are we human beings if we fail to do that? And how do we worship him? Do we worship him the way we want to worship him? This is the main message. We cannot worship him the way we want to worship him. If he is a god, he can only be worshipped in the way he wants to be worshipped. Because that is the only worship that will reach him and will be accepted to him. And he has been so merciful. He has taught the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, how we should worship him. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny once again, for teaching us exactly how we should attain that. The message, of course, is that those prayers that are recited in small hours should not be ignored. I am not saying they can be done every day, because we are all busy with our affairs. But what is the excuse for missing them on Laylatul Jum'ah? What is the excuse for missing them on Sunday dawn, when there is time to sleep early on Saturday night and be up in the small hours, and to do so at least in the holy month of Ramadan? But this was the teaching. Again, the whole house was searched. Nothing emerges. And when nothing emerges, he again sends another apology to the Imam alayhi salam. But the third time when he receives information, he now does not send any searches. He says, these searches produce nothing. So he calls the Imam alayhi salam to his court. I am citing all this to show how much persecution the Imam alayhi salam went through and what political problems he had to face, but how he faced them. And faced it in a way in which he emerged every time with great dignity. With not only success, but with great dignity and great piety. He came out at the very peak of akhlaq and of conduct in accordance with the sunnah of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. They found him each time on a prayer mat. This time he is called, and he is called expressly to be killed. But the courtiers report that when they saw the Imam alayhi salam reaching there, they found that his lips were moving. So they knew he was reciting a dua. Mutawakkil was sure to kill him. Indeed, he was pacing up and down in anger. He held the sword himself. He was not even using the executioner. And yet when the Imam alayhi salam arrived, he left his throne, went down, received him, embraced him, brought him over, and turned round to him and asked him, and you will be amazed to hear this, asked him, O grandson of the Prophet, what brings you here at this time? So the Imam alayhi salam says, I am bewildered by your question. Your people, and here they are. They came to say that you have summoned me, and you want me here exactly just now. So I have come to listen to you. And then he turns around to them and says, don't listen to them. They are all liars. I did not issue any messenger. There is a great lesson in this episode. And it is this, that we should never agree to serve a zalim. Because when you agree to serve a zalim, it is you yourself who will be a liar. Don't agree to serve a liar. And no different, no befriended. There is no time to be in the dead hadith of Hazrat Amir alayhi salam in respect of life. But one can see that flowing from this hadith. Because when in this world we are prepared to compromise with liars, we are prepared to compromise with imposters, we are prepared to compromise with zalimin, the oppressors, we ourselves as being each one of those. Because you can see this, he sent his people there when the time came and he was embarrassed. And he didn't get the answer to the question. He did not hesitate to call liars those very people who were obeying him, who were serving him, and who were loyal to him. So to such people, loyalty does not matter. Obedience does not matter. Truthfulness does not matter at all. Hence the lesson. Once we know of such people, whether it is in business, whether it is in social affairs, whether it is in any other aspect of life, the only answer is to keep away from them. And that is the teaching of Hazrat Amir alayhi salam also. This is ultimately, he imprisoned the Imam alayhi salam, and the Imam was kept in the prison of Razak. Time is passing, but I'd like to put this at least to you to show how our Imam alayhi salam in dignity spent the time in prison. I discussed this in respect of the seventh Imam alayhi salam. I discussed this in respect of the ninth Imam alayhi salam. My opportunity not to miss saying those similar words for the tenth Imam alayhi salam, so that you can see that they all flew at the same frequency. There was no difference in them at all. وَإِنَّةِ مِنْ ظُلِّكْ كَلِمَةُ التَّقْوَى وَعَلَامُ الْهُدَى وَلَيْلَةُ الْغُطَى وَالْحُجَّةُ عَلَى أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. Those expressions you recite every Thursday night, you can see, are so true in respect of each of the Imam. He is a Taqwa bin Abi Abdullah, a companion of the tenth Imam alayhi salam, says, when I came to know that the Imam was in the imprisonment of Razak, and I knew Razak, I visited Razak. And when I visited him, Razak received me and there were other people there. So Razak says, what brings you here after a long time? And Fakhar says, well, as you said, after a long time, so I've come to visit you and to inquire after your health. And Razak just smiles, knowing full well that that is not the truth. He remained there. There were people sitting when all those conversations with other people ended, and those other people started moving away, and there was just one or two left. Razak comes, turns to Fakhar and says, oh Fakhar, I know full well why you are here. You would not come here to inquire after my health at all. So Fakhar says, why do you think I'm here? Because, well, you've come here to inquire after the health of your master, your Mawla. So now Fakhar becomes very nervous and says, My Mawla is Mutawakkil. I would not be here to inquire about Mutawakkil. And Fakhar gives him a beautiful answer. And this is the first thing that I wanted to be sure not to miss telling you. Fakhar turns round to him and says, Razak turns round to him and says, oh Fakhar, do not be afraid to say that he is your Mawla, because he is my Mawla as well. So you can see that in the heart of their heart, they knew where truth lies. They knew who the true Imam is. we are nowhere wrong in saying that Al Hadi alayhi salam is the true Imam, because even those who were persecuting him knew full well who the true Imam was. They kept his number, they took his help, and indeed, even when they kept him in confinement, they knew too well who the Mawla is. Shakar says, I was flabbergasted. I did not know how to react. So having said that, he said, hold on. There is someone inside taking orders. When he comes out, I will let you in. 7 weeks, a small boy comes out. But you see, this is how things were running. Little children also, small boys also, were helping in the affair. And the next thing that happened was, he asked that very boy to take Sakhar to meet the Imam. And Sakhar goes to see the Imam, and what does he see? He sees a prayer mat once again. So you can see in the lines of our Imam, you cannot miss the prayer mat. You cannot miss the prayer mat even in Karbala, even at the noon of Karbala, when arrows were flying all over and life was in danger. So when he enters and meets the Imam, the Imam says, Sakhar, what brings you here? And he says, Mawla, only concern for you. When I knew that you were with Razak and I knew Razak, I thought I'd come and meet you. I'll ask you what I can do for you. I can see how your life can be made a little more comfortable than it is. Issue me your orders. And while he was saying this, he says, he looks and he sees a qabr. When he sees a qabr, he started weeping. He starts weeping, thinking that this qadr is already done for the 10th Imam. Can you imagine what a sheer thing? Immediately he sees the qadr vis-a-vis the Imam. That was the state in which the Imam lived. And when the Imam sees Sakhar weeping, he wept, turns around to Sakhar and says, Sakhar, don't weep. This qadr is not done by Mutawajjil. And it is not done by him for me. It is done by my orders, by me myself, with my hands. The Sakhar says, Mawla, why so? He says, because the presence of this Qadr reminds me that my final destination is in Qadr, and my final destination is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The earth is the place of migration only and has no value in my eyes. You remember that? Seventh Imam alayhi salam had the qabr done in grey, which we've already cut. The eighth Imam alayhi salam had qabr done in his own bedroom in that small mini palace that Mahmud had provided for him. And then, when they were there, Sakhar says, Mawla, I have come really only to inquire after you, but as I have had the chance, as I have had the chance of meeting you, can I ask you a question? And this is what the Imam alayhi salam lived for. He said, Sakhar, yes, go ahead, don't hesitate. He says, there is that hadith of the Holy Prophet, I cannot understand. He says, La aduwun al-adawun ayyan. He says, don't make enmity with the days of the week. Let those days make enmity with you. And it's interesting for us, because we keep saying, oh, Wednesday is a good day for this, it's a bad day for this, Friday is a good day for this action, it's a bad day for this action. No day is a bad day. They are all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This question is asked to the Holy Prophet, and he says, don't make enmity with days, let those make enmity with you. Sakhar bin Abu Dala says to the Imam alayhi salam, I understand the first part. I don't understand the second part. How do those days make enmity with us? And the Imam alayhi salam says, Sakhar, those days that the Holy Prophet is talking about is us, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When he says, don't make enmity with days, it means, don't make enmity with us. We bear the names of these days, and these days bear our names. Alas, time does not permit me to take you into all those details. But fortunately, now that time does not permit me to say all this, I have done, very, in a humble and amateurish way, a complete translation of the Fatihul Jinan into English. And I supply books today, so they will be outside, and I've made sure that they are sold subsidized price, subsidized even from the cost price, so that it is available to Mu'mineen. At page 64 of that book, you will find this hadith. I said it partly because these hadiths are not available to us because we don't read these other languages. Here you are then. This hadith is available to you and you can check it yourself. At page 64, I'm making this submission from Muntal Aman of Sheikh Abbas Kumi, but he has set out this hadith in Mufatihul Jinan at page 64. And the reason I'm referring to Mufatihul Jinan is that I do not have the time to go through these details now, and yet they are beautiful details. You can't list them. Imam alayhi salam says, Taqa, Saturday is the day of the Holy Prophet, to recite his ziyara. Sunday is the day of Hazrat Amir alayhi salam and Bibi Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. And so recite their ziyara. Monday is the day of Hassanayn alayhi salam, so recite their ziyara. Tuesday, from 2 now to 3, is Yawm al-Salata, the third day, according to the Arabic days of the week, recite the ziyara of the fourth, fifth, and sixth Imams alayhi salam. On Wednesday, recite the ziyara of seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth Imams alayhi salam. That is including himself. On Thursday, recite the ziyara of the 11th Imam alayhi salam. And Friday is the day dedicated to and recite the ziyara of Sahib al-Amr al-Ajjah, Ajjal Allah al-Farajah. And then he even taught Taqa each of those ziyarat. The ziyarat for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and each of those ziyarat are in Mufatihul Jinan. This is why I'm referring you to those page numbers, because you will find those ziyarat there. And the reason why I'm referring you to those ziyarat is, and this will prove very helpful to you all your lives, as has helped us all our lives as we keep reciting those ziyarat. He said, he who in the morning recites those ziyarat will find that the A'imma alayhi salam whom he has saluted in the morning will be helping him throughout the day, and his complete day will be the day of barakah. So you can see, each day can be a day of barakah for us. There is then no good day nor a bad day. Each day belongs to the Imam alayhi salam, and once we know that it belongs to them and invoke their help early in the morning, and their help is with us, who else do we need to help us then? Who else do we need to help us then? We can face the world and carry on with the activities of the day with the confidence that a Muslim would have. And this is how we can progress. And though they are asked, are there allowed? There is no time, as I lamented two nights back, to discuss the details of those they are asked with you. Because when I consider those details, I say to myself, my Lord, what a person we are dealing with. Mind you, this is a person in prison. He is in the prison of Razak. He gets his food only when he fasts during the day, and only gets his jar of bread and hot water. This is all that he would get. He is worried about these people outside who are in oppression. He himself is in this state. And yet, when he asks a question, he is able to provide an answer with such authority and with such scholarship, answering what the Holy Prophet meant, setting out the details as to what ways mean, setting out what ways belong to whom, and then even giving in detail the entire ziyara of each one of them. Until that time comes when Mutawakkil Mutawakkil dies, he's killed, he does not die, he's killed by his own son. That is the fate of such a valley in this world. And the son takes over. But then, after Muntasir, La'anatullah, Mu'ataz, La'anatullah comes into power, and it is in the time of Mu'ataz that his brother Mu'tamin gives poison to Imam Hadi alayhi salam, which poison ultimately resulted in the martyrdom of the Imam alayhi salam. Time does not permit us to go into details. Enough to tell you, and enough to make you weep for the 10th Imam alayhi salam, that when he was martyred, there was only one person with him, and that is the 11th Imam alayhi salam. And when we remember such things, We remember what happened to Muslim ibn Aqil when he was in Kufa and he was killed. Even his two little children he had sent away with Qadi Shuraih. He was Farida, and in that stage, in the stage in which he was martyred, Imam Hussein alayhi salam received the message of the martyrdom of the Muslim ibn Aqil. On the way, Qutb ibn Abbas sees him lying there and saluting him alayhi salam. Abu al-Qadr asked him, "Is Mawla, whose accusation did you respond to?" And he says, "Abbas, what can I tell you? Muslim has been martyred in Kufa. I could speak that he's had his time, I could see that he's been torn from the roof of the palace right to the ground, so that his body and his bones is cut into pieces. Abbas, we have lost Muslim ibn Aqil." A stage reaches further on, just 1 month on, that two people are seen coming towards from the opposite side. Imam alayhi salam wants to meet them. They go away, then he asks them, two people are behind, they go to them and ask them, "What is the news?" They turn around and say, "The news is that when we left, then the body, as much like a tail, was being drawn in the streets of Kufa, now to be taken to the marketplace so that he can be beheaded. And the body of Hadi was likewise being dragged in the streets of Kufa." This is the news. We saw Hussein alayhi salam, we saw him coming to us. We did not have the heart to tell Hussein what happened to Muslim and Muslim Bukhari. We changed our course. But these two after this charge, Imam Hussein should know this so that he should not go to Kufa only for that reason. Stopped Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, "Look, we all saw those two people and asked them." The Imam had tried to know publicly, he had not announced, because he did not want Abu Bakr to know this. When it came known, he needed the sons of Muslims were there. He turns out to them and says, "What is your decision? That their uncle, we came with you to die with you. We have not come here to stay with alive. Oh Allah, so long as you are alive, we will fight with you and we will fight for them to our last blood, so that we try to protect you and we avenge the blood of our father in Karbala." When all the companions had given their lives and the time came, the members of the family to give their lives, it is the son of Muslim who was the first to care for us and said to Imam, allow us to give our lives first. And the Imam alayhi salam says, "Your father has already been martyred. If you give your life, who is there for your mother?" And the Shaykh is our mother who has sent us Mawlah. "And we cannot now live if you are not there. If our father is not there, what are we living for? Let us go and die." Indeed, before they were able to die, their uncles, that is the brothers of the Muslims, come forward and say, "We will die before you, because we cannot suffer to see you die." They go, and our father, and then the son of the Muslim, our father, when the widow of the Muslim reaches Kufa and sees the body of the Muslim, she turns around to him and says, "Muslim, the two sons you gave me, our own martyred in Karbala. I have seen their bodies. They are here, they are here. You can see me there, said the two sons. Muslim, tell me, where are they? Who are the sons? Where are they? Who are the sons? Whom I have attested to you? You have taken them to Kufa. Where are they been today? I have not news with them since I got it." And alamatullahi ala al-qawmi al-fadilin. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.